We're reminded the epic moments of sport, for all the ready availability of prose, poetry, and the moving image, are most memorably captured by still photography, the frozen-in-time sight of the instant of a famous victory or gesture is perhaps the most potent of all media sports texts, able to convey historical weight, emotion, and a sense of the unique. Like all media texts, sports photographs work through a particular ordering of signs and codes that are part aesthetic, part ideological. They are not innocent records of events. Through selection, composition, and manipulation, sports photographs offer up an account of how the world is or how the photographer thinks it should be. The most important object in sports photography is sports' prime instrument, the human body. The bodies of sports people are closely observed through striking images that draw their power not merely from the drama of action, but also by connecting the imaged body to wider social issues and identities. It is the primary still photographic sports text of the captured sporting moment that first commands our attention, the image that transfixes the reader as they go to turn the page through its sheer visual and emotional power, its capacity to make us wish that we were there, and even if we were, that we too had seen it that way. Words from the study Sport, Culture, and the Media by David Rowe. Some of the sports images captured by internationally acclaimed photographer David Katz take our breath away. His frozen moments are filled with energy, dynamism, tension, and so often with an inherent beauty. His work is so distinctive, it might seem like an unreachable goal for an inspiring young photographer to achieve, and yet that didn't stop a band of brave young high school students from northeastern Pennsylvania who had the chance to go behind the scenes at a Wilkes-Barre-Scranton Penguins ice hockey game with a professional sports journalist as their guide, hoping to capture the sights, sounds, even smells of the match with their mighty fine cameras and a developing eye. The students are part of a 14-week photography workshop presented by the Social Fabric Collective in the Wyoming Valley, founded by Jamie Smith and Jenny Smith. A workshop not designed to create a class full of David Katzes, but rather to inspire young people through the example of committed, experienced professionals. To help students understand that, as they put it, no two eyes see the world the same way. Within a rigorous curriculum, the students are given the framework and freedom to uncover new passions, to contemplate new perspectives, and develop a personal vision that is inextricably connected to others and the community at large. We are invited to attend the opening of the Fall 2017 Photography Exhibition, featuring the work of the current students taking part in the Social Fabric Collective experience, tomorrow evening at T.W. Shoemaker Art in Wyoming, just across the river from Wilkes-Barre. Jamie Smith, who is a professional photographer in his own right, paid a visit to the WVIA studios with one of the group's participants, a Susanna Vergara, an 11th grade student at Myers High School in Wilkes-Barre, to talk about the project.
Social Fabric Collective is a 501c3 nonprofit, and we provide inspiration and photography tools for high school students, mostly in Northeast Pennsylvania. And over the last year, it started to expand. We did a workshop this summer in Petaluma, California, so we're starting to connect students from different parts of the country. But primarily, we work with kids from around 15 different high schools here in Northeast Pennsylvania. We loan them a camera for 4 months, and then they come into our building in Wyoming, and they work on computers and learn some technical parts of digital photography. But more importantly, they start to explore their identity and work on empowerment and issues around trying to get this current group to focus on. Since we don't have a lot of experience, there might not be confidence there, but certainly courage and getting out of their comfort zone, maybe going and doing certain things that they have never experienced and broadening their horizons.
So it is not just a photography workshop. This is about who we are.
I like to think so, and we'll have to ask Susie what she's gotten out of it. But I think maybe the first part of the class, we're really working on the individual, and they're trying to figure out their creative vision. patterns and themes and things, and why are they choosing these things, and what is interesting to them, and what do they want to photograph, what would they like their photographs to convey. And then we sort of transition toward the second half of the program, where the group works on improving some aspect in the community. We have an initiative that we're developing. It's called a Take Heart Initiative. And we like to partner with other and collaborate with different groups in the community that are doing really interesting work, and figure out how we can tie in the photography that our students are doing to have a purpose or some sort of meaning.
Well, introduce us to Azucena.
Well, I have with us Azucena, and she is at Myers, and she's been a great student this fall.
How did you find out about it? Did someone at school say, this could be cool?
Honestly, I saw this girl that she took the program, and she was taking pictures in school with the camera, so I asked her, and she gave me more information about the program. And she told me to go to my counselor in office, and the counselor told me, yeah, it's an awesome program to sign up for it. And she gave me the paper, the application, and she helped me fill it out.
You know, we're a collective, so it really is important that we have support and involvement from people from all different aspects of the community. We bring in guest speakers. This session, we've had Amy Newell, the director of the Luzerne County Historical Society. We've had Nick Snyder, who's an architect at Bolin. Different members of the community, but at Myers in particular, Diane McFarland has just been an outstanding resource in helping us get the word out.
Had you been taking pictures before this?
Yes, I had a camera before the program, so when I heard about the program, and they, you know how they lend the camera for 4 months, so I decided to take the program to learn how to use it more, and then get a better camera to learn how to use it. I learned a lot, like knowing how to use the aperture, the camera, the settings, when to take a picture with flash or not flash, manual, and stuff like that.
What about these non-technical things that Jamie was just telling us about mm-hmm. confidence and a sense of developing a creative vision? Has that come too?
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, I was listening to you this morning, actually, the story you did on Sousa. And how he was more about entertainment than the intellectual, technical details of the music. So I thought there's some correlation there between what we're trying to do with photography as a vehicle for personal growth and social transformation. And it can be something people get bogged down in. You do need to know the technical aspects of what you're doing, but the equipment in photography can be so technical and sometimes overwhelming. So we also try to just let the students get out and experience things. We went to shoot a Penguins hockey game. So mm-hmm. we got to go down in the tunnel, and boy, did it smell nice down there. But and we got a big long lens from Nikon, and we got Frank Laurie and some other photographers, Amanda, people who shoot for the newspapers and things, kind of helped mentor them back to that aspect of having a collective group of people in the community really helping support these kids get into photography and art.
We know how fast they fly across the ice. Did you get a sense of how to do stop motion and that sort of thing?
Yeah, there's this guy, his name is Frank.
Frank Laurie.
That Jamie brought in, and he helped me to set up my camera to know how to take the pictures when it's on action, like ice hockey.
What were some of the things that appealed to you about taking pictures there? Do you like taking pictures of people?
Yeah, I do. It was something new I never experienced to watch a hockey game, so I liked it a lot.
And what about the patterns that you can get when somebody's moving so quickly and that sense of energy and dynamism on a flat surface? Was that a challenge?
Yeah, it was. It was hard for me to get a visual picture of them because it's always on the back of them, so I was trying to get their face and have a better picture to take.
And you were talking, Jamie, about getting out of your comfort zone a little bit. Did that mean you'd have to get to places where you probably wouldn't have gone if you didn't have a camera?
Yeah, it's when we went downstairs to the where they're playing, and I was able to experience how they switch in and switch out from the game.
That would be something that if you hadn't had your camera and been there with everybody, you might not have
experienced it, yeah.
There's a good quote that, I don't know if you would remember, we talked about Susan Mizales, who's a Magnum photographer, about how the camera is both a point of separation and also interaction. It kind of gives her access to things, and I think this group really got into that. One of the other things we did in October was we went down to the photo expo at the Javits Center in New York City and got to hear Deanne Fitzmaurice, who's a Pulitzer Prize winning photographer from San Francisco, and got to meet her and talk to her a little bit. We also met a guy named Luis Mendez, who most people know famously. He's got a really old Speed Graphic 4x5 camera with a flashbulb. He's everywhere around Manhattan. and we got to talk to him. We got an interesting history lesson because this group currently is all female this fall. And he told them the story about his camera, which was used originally by Jacqueline Bouvier or Onassis Kennedy. So she was this roving reporter and photographer. And that's actually how she met President Kennedy, was going to, I think her title is something like The Girl with the Camera, but we got a little history lesson from Lewis, and then we spent the entire afternoon just wandering around, and because we had Nick Snyder in from Boland before that, we got to go around Manhattan, just look at architecture and all the buildings, and kind of ties back into this idea of sort of giving them roots and wings. And so we're doing things like the ice hockey game and New York City that are maybe new, and riding the subway for the first time. But we're also trying to take a look at your house, your neighborhood, your school, and those different things that sort of influence who you are and what you're interested in. So that was an interesting thing to have a sense of this, you know, very important architecture firm. They designed all the retail Apple stores for the first 20 years, and Bill Gates is home, and they're right here in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. And to then go to New York City and say, oh, wow, I see some buildings that were designed by a place in my hometown. So that was kind of a fun, came full circle, a neat connection. One of the things that Susanna's class did was we partnered up with, this goes back to collaborating, the whole Take Heart initiative, and collaborating with the Association for the Blind. And they have a transition program for younger people, junior high and high school kids, and it helps them prepare for either college or work and things like that as they get to be adults. So they came to us and wanted to collaborate. And so what we ended up doing was taking a Wednesday where both sets of students came in, and we got the chance to meet each other. A lot of times these programs that are available for sight for service, people don't know about them, but also it can be isolating for somebody with a visual impairment at their school if there's not a lot of other people. So it's a chance for them to meet their peers. It was a great opportunity for us as photographers to kind of have those awkward conversations, just photographing people in general, but now photographing someone with a visual impairment, and how do you make them feel comfortable, and how do you figure out what angle or where they should look, and all those kind of awkward conversations, and to actually just be up front. And I found the kids were able to just on the same level talk to each other. And so I'll let Susie, do you want to talk about what happened with Kay and how that was a photograph somebody knew?
Kay was one of the girls that came with the Association of the Blind program. And she was a little bit shy of getting her photo taken by me or by other students.
By a little bit, you mean like she did not, absolutely did not want her photograph taken. Yeah. So what did you do to kind of...
So in order for me to get her to, like, you know, let me take pictures of her, I lent her my camera and I let her experience what it is to take pictures. And she took a picture of me, and then, you know, we just started talking a little bit. And then I asked her, do you mind if I take pictures of you? She was like, okay, I would try it. And then from there, I took a picture of her, and, you know, she wasn't out of her comfort. Like, she was in her comfort zone.
She ended up smiling, and it was kind of neat because then a couple other people got to photograph her, and Susanna kind of warmed her up so that, you know, she was all of a sudden comfortable now letting other people take her picture. And I think another thing that reminds me of is a Buckminster Fuller quote that you don't just take a photograph, it's really a combination of all your experiences in your life. And I think one of the things that I hope it's okay to mention, but, you know, she has an older brother who's in a wheelchair. So I think her ability to have a sense of empathy and kind of how to make somebody feel comfortable and really working with somebody who might be, you know, conscious about having their photograph taken.
And so both of you grew in that experience, not just you in finding a way to bring her out, but she was given a gift of being able to relax and be less self-conscious about being photographed in that way and what that might mean for her in the future.
Yeah, and one of the students is actually in both programs, Raina Long, who's with us this fall, also has a visual impairment. And a neat aspect of that whole day was that we watched a really interesting video. It's about 15 minutes. It's called ThroughMyLenses.org. I had to put an S on the end of lenses. It's by a photographer named David Katz. It's a fascinating story. He is British, and he was a photographer for most major publications in London for 30 years. And you're talking, you know, Wimbledon and the Queen and politics, sports, everything. He actually now lives in Israel. He was Benjamin Netanyahu's photographer for 2 years and has recently come out with this little video that explains the fact that he is legally blind since birth. So it was really neat for us to see this video, again, going back to the whole confidence and courage. And sometimes if you're starting out doing anything artistic or anything new, really, just how do you get a sense of where to start and how to feel comfortable doing it? And then to have his story that he's had an incredible career as a photographer without anybody knowing about this. There's editors. And so we arranged to actually FaceTime him, and we got to talk to him from Israel, both groups, the transition program and also our photography class. So that was kind of fun for me to see them actually connect and talk to somebody who's overcome a lot of challenges and stereotypes and kind of push the limits of what we expect we could maybe do. It reminds me back to my photography professor. He's a Guggenheim grant winner, Richard Ross, but he used to say that most of your limitations are self-imposed. And that was really, I think, something we could take heart to with David Katz's story, that he's been visually impaired since birth. But maybe you want to share what it was like to talk to him or hear his story.
Yeah, his story was really impressive to me, because knowing someone that was able to take pictures saying legally blind was, oh my God, like, wow, you know, he actually accomplished that and he came really known. And that makes me like more enthusiastic. I'm like, I know I could do this. You know, if he could, I can too. So it was really, really good experience. And I was able to ask him a question of his challenges. Like, how did he accomplish his challenges? And he was telling me how just trust in yourself and, you know, you'll get through it. And it was a really, really nice experience.
So it sounds like this has been quite a series of weeks and months now. Do you have times when you get together as a class and look at each other's work?
Yeah, in class, there's a slideshow and there's around five pictures. And then each person goes through their pictures and then we criticize them, see if they're good or bad, how they can improve and stuff like that.
Yeah, we usually do a weekly critique, and it's done as a group so that you'll learn from what you have to say about other people's work as well as feedback you might get on your work. And it's very important to us at the program, producing a public-facing product. You know, we're not just doing this in a vacuum, and so at the end of each session, we have a printed, framed exhibit. But the important thing is that the students realize that they're editing for a purpose and who's the audience and what do they want their pictures to say and figure out how to articulate that.
How did you decide what you'd like to be included in the show?
Have you decided yet? Or you're getting narrowed down, but like, what kind of stuff are you going to put in?
I want to put in family, because that's something that I do. I'm with them all the time, so that shows a part of me, my family. I like nature. I like going out and taking pictures. I love seeing the sun, the sunset. I like taking pictures of other people, like a picture of someone, just one person, and being able to see how they, like when someone's taking them pictures, if they're comfortable, if they're not, if not, I find a way to make them comfortable, or if not, find a way to make the picture better by putting little things and like little objects in it. I also like taking pictures of flowers. They're really pretty. It's hard to find around this time, but I like flowers. And it's hard to choose out of all the pictures I've taken.
Editing, we learn a lot of editing, for sure. The greatest of all gifts is not using two words when one will do. Thomas Jefferson, yeah.
What about your family? Have they been comfortable with your taking pictures of them?
Well, I took a picture of my brother, the oldest brother that Jamie mentioned. He's in a wheelchair, and he can't tell me if he feels comfortable or not, me taking pictures, but he likes it because he smiles, so I'm always taking pictures of him.
That's kind of another point that's been fun, this group, is we have one student who's from Colombia and we have one who's an exchange student from Mexico. So my awful high school Spanish is really, it's been a struggle for me, but the idea of communicating without words and just being able to read body language in terms of, is somebody comfortable with me taking their photograph, or what can I do to read how the situation is going, and really building a relationship or a sense of trust when you're photographing somebody. Sometimes you have to do that without being able to communicate with language.
It's really a relatively short time, but do you think you've grown as a person as a result of these sessions, this workshop?
Yes, I feel I've grown up as a photographer and as a person, because I've got the experience to have this photography class, and being able to see other people work and my work is really, you know, wow. I challenge myself to do better.
What Asusana was saying reminded me of what my mentor Jay Mazel would say, which is, if you're not your severest critic, you're your own worst enemy. So if I've done my job well, hopefully their standards have been raised. So maybe the photos that at the beginning of the class they would have thought were fantastic. And this is sort of a challenge. Maybe you're a little bit less satisfied, but it's because you have a little bit more awareness of what's in your photographs and are they as successful as you really thought. And that maybe can be a sign of improvement, that you're not settling for just, oh, I put the camera up and took a picture, therefore it's a good shot, but actually editing it down, figuring out what you want to say, and do those photographs do that?
Yeah, and personally, what the picture, like Jamie was telling us during the classes, what personal touch does it have, like a picture, not just having a picture of something random, like what is the story behind a picture?
Why you're taking it is an important thing. We want we want them to have a sense of intention and purpose.
So you're looking forward to the show?
Yes.
And you're inviting us to come, right?
Yeah, there's a couple opportunities. The exhibit is on Tuesday, December 19th. It is free and open to the public from 6:30 to 8 o'clock. We are having a preview exhibition with some sponsored food items and things like that. There's tickets for that available on the website, socialfabriccollective.org.
Jamie, tell us about how you cycle through this and how people can get involved.
Sure. The next session will start, I believe it's late February, but right now there's a scholarship application on the website, and any high school student in the area can apply. It is need blind, so it does not matter what your financial situation is. And then there are three levels of scholarships, which are need-based. So we just calculate how much help you need, and they are reviewed in the same order they're received. So I think we're a little over half full for the next session, but certainly if you know anybody in high school is interested in photography or learning about themselves or learning about anybody else in the community, that's kind of what we're offering for the spring.
Jamie Smith, artist, teacher, and co-founder of the Social Fabric Collective, with our Susana Vergara, an 11th grade student at Myers High School in Wilkes-Barre and workshop participant, speaking with us about the Fall 2017 Social Fabric Collective Photography Workshop and the culminating exhibition of the students' work that will have an opening reception tomorrow evening from 6:30 to 8 at T.W. Shoemaker Art, 312 Wyoming Avenue in Wyoming, Pennsylvania, just across the river from Wilkes-Barre. If you can, there is a special exhibit preview with a menu of delights and more at 5:45 tomorrow afternoon. Tickets for that benefit event are available online at socialfabriccollective.org, socialfabriccollective.org. Also, for information about the spring 2018 sessions and scholarship applications, at that website, socialfabriccollective.org, socialfabriccollective.org. That's the Fall 2017 Photography Exhibition of the participants from the Social Fabric Collective, the opening reception at 6:30 tomorrow, Tuesday, December 19th, at T.W. Shoemaker Art, 312 Wyoming Avenue in Wyoming, free and open to the public. And if you would like and can do it, there is a special preview event at 5:45 at T.W. Shoemaker Art tomorrow as well. And for information about the spring 2018 events and the scholarship applications, online, socialfabriccollective.org.